I have been teaching just for the purposes of reacquainting, reaffirming, reminding everybody. We are in the church age. We are in the Holy Spirit age, the Holy Ghost age. And we've been taking a bit of a survey, a walk through the scriptures on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Started in Genesis 1:1, the Holy Spirit was always here. The Holy Spirit was who would come upon the king, the priest. I just this morning finished reading the book of Judges. I'm working my way through the Bible again. And one of the judges is Samson. You see where the Spirit of God would come upon people and anoint them. Keep in mind, if you ever desire that the anointing of God would come upon you, the anointing is not for you. It's for work of the ministry. It's for other people. And we should, an individual should conduct themselves in such a way that God can anoint them and use them. Although Samson presses the boundaries on that a little bit. But nonetheless, you can't get wrapped up in your gift. What do you have that God didn't give you? And what do you have that God didn't give you for someone else? Amen. So show up in proper condition and just flow with how he leads you. And that's his anointing. So we're in that time when it's not only the prophet, priest, king, but with the coming of the day of Pentecost, all believers. All believers. The Spirit comes upon. I haven't said it too much this time through, but the Spirit within is different from the Spirit upon. And for the purposes, maybe, I won't say that. I was going to say more so for the Spirit upon to refresh us in these things. But it's the Spirit within that leads you to the time, place, opportunity, and prepared condition so the Spirit can come upon. Amen? Amen. So we've been going through some of these things concerning the Spirit. I've noticed in the book of Acts particularly, as these things that I've been covering come up, I have emphasized a little bit that speaking in other tongues was involved. The original day of Pentecost, Philip, when he went down to preach in Samaria, Peter, John came, and so on, and these different ones. I'm going to start with Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And I think we've covered enough so far that there's a commonality. You see that it's in the scriptures again and again and again. Sometimes people say things like, you know, well, we need to just major on the majors and minor on the minors. And they may say that about a subject like speaking in other tongues. Well, that's just a small thing. No, it's not. It is a major. Look at Acts 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's no small thing. They got filled and they spoke in other tongues. That's not a small thing. And so while we're here, we want to notice this. It says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Utterance is another way of saying words. The Spirit gave them words. I find through the years that in helping people be Spirit-filled and move into speaking in other tongues, some people it's just immediate and abundant and flowing. Others need a little bit of help. Those that need some help and those that even have a little frustration with the experience or aren't even sure what happened, almost universally, the difficulty is shutting down the thinking and the brain and the mind. It's, but I don't know the words. I don't know the language. What do I say? You know, or if you do say something, Is that it? Is that the words? We're going to look at a scripture later where it talks about groanings in the Spirit. Well, that's just noise. It's in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. So what I want you to just be absolutely clear on is this. The words don't come from you and me. We're not responsible for the words. We don't have to think the words. We don't have to make up the words. We don't have to know the words. They don't even have to sound like words. We have sounds that everybody knows what they mean. You know, if I go, ah, that's disgust, not a word. And when you're reading somebody and they want you to get that, you know, how would you spell? You know, that maybe A-H-H-H-H-H, exclamation, exclamation. Ah, he said in disgust. You'd have to add, he said in disgust to help, but there are even groanings in the Spirit. Amen. So, what is speaking in other tongues? It is speaking out of your mouth with your voice, your tongue, your mouth, your vocal cords, your breath, words that don't come from you. You're not responsible for them. All you do is cooperate with your breathing and the muscles and make the sounds as they seem to come. That's it. Words are given by the Spirit. Well, what did I just say? Doesn't matter. Now, we'll eventually talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues. But just to speak in other tongues is words from heaven, words from God. Amen. I was thinking this week as I was preparing and praying about this message today, being here today, I've always thought of a stunt that I wanted to pull that I think would be a whole lot of fun. You ever go somewhere, shopping center or something like that, and people will, couple people will speak in a language that you don't know, and you just wonder, what are they saying? They're probably saying, look at her. That looks so stupid. Those colors don't go together, right? You know, you think things like that because you don't know. And people who believe you don't know their language do take advantage of the opportunity and do say things about people. Wouldn't you like to be able to understand that? I recently bought these new Apple AirPods that are supposed to be able to hear foreign languages and translate it in your ear. Well, the one I was interested in is Spanish, it's not doing Spanish yet for whatever reason. But I thought that'd be fun. Go into the Mexican restaurant and see what they say about you. Right? I have often wanted to do this thing where me and we'd agree beforehand, go in an elevator with other people, right? And just talk in other tongues like it's foreign language. You know, turn to him, give him an elbow and say, ha, kadamasi, sina na bada shutu. And he goes, ah, tadigano mogona talapa. And you go, hey, kidibishi, stumana shata dadiabadu. Yeah. And then both of us laugh. Would that be fun?
Yes.
I think that'd be fun.
Yes.
Susan couldn't do this because she'd fall out in the elevator too, and then they'd really wonder. Yeah, that would be fun. I just don't have the guts to do it. So, again, speaking in other tongues is simply, and I'm going to use the word simply the Spirit of God giving us the words, and we speak them. That's all that it is. It's all that it is. But words matter. Words carry power. And if I had a way of speaking words given by God, I could say what God thinks. I could say what God wants done. I could, well, we'll get into that. Power is released when God's word is released. When I speak in other tongues, except when I'm messing with somebody on the elevator, maybe even then, other tongues is making things move and happen because God's word cannot return void to him, but it will accomplish that for which he sends it to do. And if he leads you to speak in other tongues concerning a situation you might have concern about or whatever it might be, those are not void words. Well, what exactly is happening? Probably you don't know. And we'll get to that a little bit too. So understanding what it is, and before I move on, I'll say this too. We understand there are 9 gifts of the Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I suppose we'll talk about some of those. Because we have what we preach and put our attention on. And I can't remember the last time we had tongues and interpretation and prophecy in the house. That's not good. Amen. Amen. So 9 gifts of the Spirit, and it tells us there that he gives to individuals, I'll paraphrase, as he chooses and when he chooses. So if we were to have a tongue, an interpretation, or prophecy, it would be as the Spirit chooses, when he chooses, who he chooses, I might add, and who's willing. Because a lot of times God moves on people and they're not willing. You know, I had a word and I should have said something, but I didn't. Right? That ever happened to anybody? Yeah. All of the gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit moves on someone. So when you see prophecy, it is nothing but divinely inspired words from God in a known language. That's what prophecy is. And hopefully you've heard in times past, words of prophecy. You know, speaker may say something like, thus says the Lord, and go forward with that. So it is words from him. When you get to word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all of these things is as the Spirit gives. The gateway, so to speak, the beginning, the learning grounds, the place to start is in yielding our mouth to the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. And I would say this, the more the better. Remember the Apostle Paul wrote, I speak in tongues more than you all, when he was talking about speaking in other tongues. There's great benefit. Well, today I'm going to talk about some, in no particular order, of the reasons or the benefits of speaking in other tongues. Because I remember back in my denominational church days, before we left the denominational church, Sandy and I were spirit-filled, and we were not all that quiet about it. We shared with other people. We got a few others also spirit-filled, and that was great for some, and others kind of thought we were off the deep end and a problem in our church. And eventually, I had to choose between being a problem in the church or faithful to the word, and then it was time for me to depart. But, you know, there was just people that, you know, what's that for? Why speak in tongues? What's that for? And, of course, maybe you heard this too. In our church growing up, it was all of these supernatural things. That was for the time of the apostles, and it's been done away with. Well, I don't see anywhere in the Scripture where it says it's ever going to be done away with until Jesus returns. another subject. We won't go into that today. But what's all that for? Well, let's answer that question. What is it for? Why speak in other tongues? Let's go to Acts 10 and verse 44, please. Acts 10, 44. We looked at the scripture previously, but we're here again. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, that means Jewish believers, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Before the time of Jesus, the Israelis, the Jews, under Moses' law, they were to maintain some separation, some holiness, if you will, from Gentile people. Gentile would be anybody that's not a Jew. So they would kind of segregate themselves. God's covenant was first with the Jewish folks. That covenant's still in force, by the way. The covenant was with the Jewish folks, and they were still living the Mosaic law and not mingling with Gentiles. God had to show Peter a vision. Do not call unclean what I have called clean. And there are old covenant prophets who talked about the time of the Gentiles, that God would come to the Gentiles, even that God would use Gentile people to provoke jealousy in the Jewish people. But they were astonished that this had happened. And they recognized the same Holy Spirit that had come upon them came upon, of all things, a Roman, a soldier, and his household. I mean, you talk about people who were despised by the Jews, an occupying army. Amen. So they were astonished, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on the Gentiles also. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There was absolute proof that the Holy Spirit had fallen upon these people, which became believers. So what's the purpose? Speaking in other tongues is evidence and proof of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in other tongues is evidence and proof of the filling of the Holy Spirit. The enemy, the devil, will always come to challenge you concerning the role that God has in your life. You're not really a believer. Or even if someone spirit-filled might speak in other tongues at an anointed service and then go home and the next day, I don't know what that was, but it wasn't real. You know, you have the devil come at you. That'll never happen again, and so on. But you can know that you know that you know that the Holy Spirit of God came upon you, even if a little. You speak in other tongues. And when you know it, when the evidence is there, it's proof. And you can turn to the enemy, oh yeah, I spoke in other tongues. And just to make you upset, I'll do it again. Do you know why other tongues upsets the devil and why it's one of the doctrines he fights so hard? He can't understand it. And when he can't understand it, he doesn't know how to counteract. He doesn't know how to respond. Amen. I think it'd be a good idea just to make the devil mad. Yeah. You know? Or if he's harassing you, you better leave me alone. Get out of here in Jesus' name, or I'll speak in tongues for the next hour. Amen. Amen. You'd get so stirred up if you spoke in other tongues for an hour, you wouldn't be thinking about the devil none at all. So it's evidence and it's proof, and there's no one here who hasn't been challenged by the enemy. And you prove to yourself again, oh yeah, Spirit of God's upon me and within me. Watch this, devil. Or hear this. Listen to this. So that is a very valuable. And you see through the scriptures again and again and again that it's the first thing that happens is they speak in other tongues. So it's significant. It's important. For everyone, anyone who's ever been Spirit-filled, some people feel it so strongly, others not so much, but particularly when you feel it, you go, I don't know what this is. I've never felt this before, but something's happening, right? That's evidence so that you know. And by the way, as we grow and mature, that feeling diminishes because we walk by faith, not by feeling. And so you can pray in other tongues, maybe under your breath, while you're doing all sorts of things. You know, you're not necessarily feeling something, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So evidence and proof is one of the reasons. A second reason, let's go to Mark 13 and verse 11. This is a roundabout way of showing this, but Mark 13, 11, Jesus is telling the disciples that they're going to have trouble after he departs and leaves. He's even told them that they're going to be, not right here, but going to be arrested, persecuted, even killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus. And to help them, he says this in verse 11 of Mark 13, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. That is how the Holy Spirit works. He gives you what to say at the time. You don't have necessarily advanced preparation. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need. And it says, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And this is there's other ways of proving it, but I felt led with this scripture. For somebody, this will matter. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us move beyond our own thinking, move beyond our own understanding. You know, you're in jail, going to be appearing before a judge in the morning, and what am I going to say? How am I going to defend myself? This is a situation Jesus is laying out. And he says, don't think about it. Just when the time comes, the Spirit will give you your defense and what to say. Amen. And so we see some of the answers when they were arrested and brought before the court. Peter and John, Stephen, others. Just these brilliant. In fact, how many times didn't Jesus give an answer that confounded their questions and their traps when they tried to trip him up? Do you remember when they asked him what to do with this woman caught in the act of adultery? You know, and the law of Moses says we have to stone her. Jesus, what do you say? Do you remember what he did? He stooped down and started writing on the ground. And of course, everybody says, oh, I wonder what he wrote. I don't know. I'm not sure that's important, but I think we could confidently see Jesus waited on the Spirit of God for what to say and what answer to give. Amen. If he needed to do that, we need to do that. And boy, when we're dealing with one another or other people at work or even enemies, before you answer, just throw something out. Maybe pause a little bit. You want to really confuse them? Just a couple of sentences in other tongues. What? That'd be another fun thing to do. But anyway, the Holy Spirit knows things we don't know. He knows what the answer is. And whatever situation we're in, we can depend on him in the hour when we need it. He will give us what to say or what to do. Several times in Bible school, Brother Keith Moore particularly, he would teach us, when you're challenged by someone or the enemy, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? He said, don't answer, I don't know. I don't know. Because you're reinforcing in your mind, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. He says, the answer is, I'll know what to do when it's time to do it. Right now? But I'll know what to do. I'll know what to say when it's time to say it. Well, the Holy Ghost can help us with that. Amen? So it's to move beyond, help us move beyond our own thinking, beyond our own words. 1 Corinthians 14:14, please. It says this, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. We'll read the remaining part. It's another subject. It says, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And that's contrasting two things. We'll talk about that another time. But notice that Paul writes here, when you speak in other tongues, you edify yourself. A word that you might recognize that's similar is edifice. Sometimes when we're talking about a building, the face of a building and so on, we talk about a beautiful edifice. Similar edify. What the word means is to build up. Or like we have batteries now in so many things that we have. It is to charge up. And so when we're feeling low, when we're feeling drained, when we're not on top of things, maybe even discouraged, if one will speak in other tongues, it's like you've been put on the battery charger and you're building and charging and building and charging and building and charging. I need to do this more than I do. Anybody else? Yeah. Build yourself and charge yourself up. The world and things around you want to tear you down. Amen? And the more you think on those things, the more you get torn down. What should you do? I got to go tell somebody about my troubles. I got to go ask them what to do. No, maybe not. Maybe pray in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. And you build yourself and you edify yourself. An awful lot of what I've figured out is the answer, what to do, how to respond to certain situations, comes to me when I'm speaking in other tongues. It's the gateway to revelation of the Spirit. Amen. We're not going to go there now, but you know, Paul wrote, when you speak in tongues, pray that you may interpret. Well, that's moving from the unknown to the known. And you can pray through something in other tongues. And while you're in that same spirit, it can switch over into prophecy or known language. And you can understand what to do. You can start speaking in English exactly what the answer is. Revelation can come when we speak in other tongues. So it builds us. It edifies us. Jude verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude, but Jude 20. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll grant you, it doesn't say tongues. It says praying in the Holy Spirit. But remember, we already saw the Spirit gives the words. So when you're praying as the Spirit gives the words, this is very often going to be in other tongues. And it may switch into your known tongue when you get in that place of in the Spirit, as we would call that. So, beloved, building yourself up. So this was our third purpose. You build yourself. You edify yourself. You charge yourself up. And notice here the instruction from Jude, which, by the way, was the half-brother of Jesus. So one of the books of the Bible is the brother of Jesus, Jude. There actually are two. The other one is James. So James and Jude were both brothers of Jesus and became believers and powerful believers. But you build yourself up. Notice he puts the responsibility on you. Well, I wish somebody would cheer me up. Build yourself up. I realize from my own personal experience, it can be pretty hard to get started. And that's the last thing you think you want to do, you know. I'm just going to go watch a Western. See a bad guy get shot. I watched one recently, and I don't know, or maybe it's not good, but it was just so rewarding to see the bad guy take a couple of bullets and, yes! That's one of the things I love about Westerns. The proper person dies in the end. Seems like that's justice. Anyway, praise the Lord. Instead of television, I'm talking to myself here, okay? Yeah. Maybe praying in the Holy Ghost. And something I used to do, Sandy used to do a fair amount too. We now have acquired enough property. It's almost 17 acres around my house. And I used to just go for walks in the woods and pray in other tongues, pray in the Spirit, walk along the riverbank, watch the wildlife. All of that. Now there's bald eagles there. Somewhat regularly we see bald eagles and great herons and geese. There's just too many of them things. But frogs and turtles and skunks and raccoons and possum and coyote and occasionally see a mink, weasels, beaver. There's beaver there, turkey. That's is that the plague?
I say it's snakes.
Yes, there are snakes too. There are snakes too. Yeah, there are snakes too. But yeah, so all of that wildlife. But that was prayer time for me. That was good time for me. And I can't let it be an excuse, but now I'm staying in the house with her and not necessarily, but I do have occasions, a caregiver, I could just go again. I need to do that more. Amen? Why? Because if Pastor Dan gets all built up and charged up and he comes to church all ready and fired up, some of that spills out on John. That's why John sits up here, because he wants to be close to where it's spilling out. Love you too, Sandy. But you build yourself. And, you know, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said that we should all come to church with a tongue, with an interpretation. All of these things should be done orderly. It's not come to church and get to a point. It's come to church already spilling out with something, already charged up and ready to happen in the right way on somebody. Amen. Amen. Number four. We're covering some of the purposes of praying in other tongues, speaking in other tongues. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. We're not going to cover every benefit that you might find in praying in other tongues. I recently, yesterday as a matter of fact, went through one of Brother Hagin's books, 10 Reasons to Speak in Other Tongues. And I overlap him by three or four, maybe. He's got a lot of other ones, too. Benefits. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How confident are you that God hears you when you pray? You can be very confident. How? Pray according to his will. You have to know it to pray according to it. Be like law. If you don't know what the law is, you wouldn't know how to keep the law. And they tell us, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You're getting that ticket anyway. Right? So first you need to know the will of God. Then you can pray according to the will of God, and he hears you. And if we add verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So John is telling us you can be confident that God will hear you. And when he hears you, you can know that he grants you the petition you have asked. One caveat, your petition is in line with the will of God. Asking God what he already wants to do. Now, it's a big thing in, where I grew up in church, all the time they would pray something and then say, if it be your will. Somebody taught them somewhere that that's the holy and consecrated and respectful way to talk to God. God, if you want to do this, this is what I'm asking you to do. Now, it's okay to ask God about what he wants to do to find out. But I noticed, say, for instance, someone was maybe even gravely ill, sick, you know, and the people are gathered and even praying for someone, you know. Lord, basically, heal our dear sister, heal our brother, you know, raise them up to strength again and so on, if it be your will. And I started to get to where I started thinking, well, finish your sentence. And if it's not your will, go ahead and kill them. Isn't that what's implied? So this sickness that's upon them, it might be you, God, in which case, you know, I don't want to pray against you, God, because you got your reasons to make somebody sick. They got to learn something, apparently. God's teaching them something, apparently, right? But there's only one place in prayer where we're taught to use the word if in the prayer of consecration, and Jesus prayed that in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there's any other way, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was consecrating himself to the will of God, asking, is there any other way? He knew the answer. There's not. But it's showing his humanity that he was looking for a way out, so to speak, right? That's human, to want a way out, but surrendered. But if, God, this is your plan, I will execute your plan. I'll fulfill your plan. That's the only place that Jesus ever prayed, if it be your will. So we see here that we are to pray and ask according to his will. Well, if you can determine his will, you can have 100% success in your prayer life. 100%. Ask the right thing, 100%. Well, if you ask according to his will, think about that. You're asking God to do what he already wants to do. How much is he going to resist that? Oh, okay. If you force me to. No, he's excited. That's exactly where I was trying to get you so that you would understand. Ask me, you know. Years ago, I don't know why, but it just pops up in my mind, so I'll tell it. Years ago, back when our coffee bar was back at the other end of the building there, and we had a couch next to it. I was sitting on that couch before service, and just out of the blue, in my spirit, I hear the Lord speak to me, and he says, ask me for an airplane. Now, there was no doubt I wanted one. No doubt I was learning to fly. I had learned to fly, I think, by that point in time. Believe in God for an airplane and everything. You know, I saw in the Scriptures he gives us all things to enjoy. And I didn't see why I couldn't have an airplane except for money. You know, I didn't have any money to buy an airplane. But he said, ask me for an airplane. And I thought, okay. This was him telling me what his will is. He wouldn't tell me to ask him for something that was not according to his will. Amen. I said, okay, Lord, I ask you for an airplane. And then immediately I thought, I better tell him what I want. Some specifics, right? And I listed out a few things on that airplane. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. It wasn't immediate, but I have an airplane. Amen. It is awesome, Sandy. It is awesome. How did little old me get an airplane? Praise the Lord. And little old me, how did I get that house that I live in? Material things are not everything, but the Lord has shown himself more than faithful and more than abundant toward me. And I was just thinking today, you know, my mortgage is getting down there to where it's not much compared to the value of the property and so on and all that equity. And, you know, the Lord's blessed me, money in the bank and all that kind of stuff. How did I get there? I'll tell you how. I followed God. That's how I got there. I followed God. It's the Lord your God who gives you the power to get wealth. And what's that other scripture? He adds no sorrow with it. There are people that have money, but they got troubles in life. And sometimes money is their troubles. I don't have money troubles. Amen. And when you know that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, you can confidently ask. It's according to his will. God, you said you would meet my needs. Amen. So as long as you follow God and ask according to his will, you'll have 100% success. Amen. Now, I will say to you, what you ask may take some time. All of this stuff that I just sort of listed off here, it's years, many years in building and coming into fruition. So, you know, that you're going to just pray today and tomorrow $1 million check comes, probably not. But if you believe God, you follow his word, you follow him, you follow what he says about giving, receiving, believing, all that stuff, you can get to $1 million. Amen. Maybe that's not so much anymore, but I've got a book at home. Anyone can be a millionaire. Amen. But it does take time. And if more time is behind than in front, that does present a factor in this. But I'll also tell you this for sure. Wherever you are, God can prosper you from there. And God will meet your needs. Amen. Sandy and I just started early enough. Amen. Amen. So, Romans chapter 8, let's go there next. So, what do you do when you don't know the will of God? You can pray. Ask him, Lord, show me. Give me illumination. Give me insight. You can also pray in the Spirit. Speak in other tongues. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. In 1 John, pray according to the will of God. Well, the problem is often we don't know. What is the will of God here? Amen? So what is the will of God? How do we move forward in these things? Maybe I'll share one with you all. Sandy used to complain I tell too much of our personal life, but it's in the stories and the illustrations, and then somebody you know is taking a step, and you see how it turns out. That's part of being a pastor, is sharing your life, it seems to me. Well, in this March 10th storm and hail damage and all of that, my house too. My house, my pole building, and my woodshed, and so on. And I didn't know, you know, a little bit of denting. But it's a steel roof, so it's not going to leak, ever. So, and I had a $5,000 deductible, so it's like, do I really want to start this process saying I got hail damage and so on with the insurance company? Well, I finally kind of decided I'll let them come and look, and them they can tell me what's going on here. And so a guy comes out, and so on, goes up on the roof. He's got his piece of chalk, and just he's going like this, marking all this stuff. Oh. Once he marks it, standing up on the roof, I went up on the roof with him. Once he marks it, I see it. It's got dents. But I didn't see them until he marked them. So I get to thinking to myself, and the insurance said, okay, you need new roofs. We're replacing the roofs on your buildings. Do I really need new roof? I mean, it might be nice. But it got me to thinking, maybe I'd like to do something else with the insurance settlement. You know? Like, my first thought was, let me invest that in the market. And if you're invested, it's been a very good year. We're at 21.9% so far this year. That accumulates quickly at over 20%. So that's my thinking is, I'll take all that money, put that thing. When answering the problem is if you have any mortgage, the insurance company makes a check to you and your mortgage company, right? So, and with mortgage company I have, oh, you got to send us the check, endorse it, send it to us. Okay, sent that. Send us the adjuster's sheets, sent that. And then they want this attestation. You attest. It's a sworn statement, basically, that you will make the repairs. And I haven't sent them that. And they call me up, hey, where's this paper? Well, I'm thinking about not doing it. You have to. Why? Well, a mortgage company wants to protect their interests in the property, right? And if you don't make the repairs and the roof leaks and the value goes down and all this work needs to be done, yeah, but I'm a steel roof. And, of course, the big mortgage company, that means nothing to them. They don't grasp, they don't understand it. I told them you can't even see the damage, let alone let it actually do something, you know, leak in the building and so on. So I get another letter, and it basically says if I don't spend as much as the insurance sent me, whatever balance there is, like if I do the work and I do it for a lot less, that money that's left over, they will not send it to me. I'm thinking to myself, where was that in the mortgage contract that I signed? And it happens to be my mortgage was sold from somebody to somebody else. I never signed anything with who it was sold to. And I haven't looked up my original mortgage if that kind of a clause was in there. But anyway, so what am I doing? I'm praying, God, how do I handle this? Any money left over, they credit to the mortgage balance. I don't get it. But it goes to my benefit to the mortgage balance. Okay. That's not so bad, right? So I started thinking, well, what would they do if I make none of the repairs? And I haven't addressed it with them. Because if you come to my house, I'll dare you to try to find the dents. Asphalt shingles, a whole different story. They take serious damage from the hail. But, you know, they would take that whole amount and put it on the principal of my mortgage. And saying, Lord, is that a better option in this case? I mean, my roof would be shiny if I did the work, but I just go from what I had to what I had. Or if I say it doesn't really need it, some very minor denting, it would be I reduce my mortgage by almost half. It's tens of thousands of dollars for my buildings, roof replacement. So I'm praying, Lord, what's the best move here? Amen. So back to Romans 8:26, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions. Intercession is arguing on behalf of another. The Spirit is arguing before the throne of heaven our case. The Spirit is taking your life, your situation, your needs, and arguing before the court of heaven, the throne of heaven. And it says here, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm told the Greek word there for uttered should be translated, could be translated, uttered in articulate speech. Well, groanings, that makes sense. We wouldn't necessarily call that articulate speech. But the Spirit makes groanings which cannot be articulated in known speech. Sometimes praying in other tongues in the Spirit is groanings. This from this verse is where we talk about intercession in the Spirit. And years ago, there was a particular minister that came here and taught us concerning the value of gathering together in sessions of prayer that might be move into intercession and groanings and even deep groanings. And if you see someone in prayer and they are in another world, in groanings, it's the Spirit of God upon them. Yeah. There's a place where Jesus has talked about him praying. He groaned within himself. The occasion actually was the epileptic boy. Jesus on the Mount of Transfigure comes down. The disciples couldn't get him healed of epilepsy. Once I fell off the bridge, I couldn't find my way back on. And it says he groaned in the Spirit and then said, bring the boy to me. It would be exactly this. Amen. So this does say groanings, but I believe you can see that when we pray in the Spirit, and Paul, we'll get to that in just a second. Paul talks about praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. We pray what we do not know. And I was going through the scriptures here. This is the fourth reason. When we pray in the Spirit or pray in line with the will of God, we pray in the Spirit, we pray according to the will of God. Let me show you that. We'll read a little further here. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you are praying Spirit-inspired prayer, groanings, other tongues may move into a spirit of prophecy where it's in known language, where you start to capture what the will of, discern what the will of God is. The Spirit of God knows the will and mind of God, and if we'll flow with Him in prayer, we will pray according to the will of God. And we saw in 1 John, if we pray according to the will of God, we know He hears us. And when we know He hears us, we know that we have been given and granted. We have the petition we ask. If you will pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues, you will ask God to do what He already wants to do, and you pave the way. You lay the tracks. You're praying out your future. You're obtaining and gaining the very things that God wants in your life. And let me tell you, if God wants it in your life, you're going to like it. You're going to enjoy it. One time, Sandy and I bought a piece of ground, 15 acres. Didn't have real reason to have 15 acres, but it sold off of a farm, and farms don't come up but once in a generation, if that. So we bought that 15 acres, a wooded lot, off of that farm, and it's just like, okay, Lord, what do I do with it now? You know? And I could never get from the Lord why I bought that, why we bought that. And Lord, what do I do with it? What's it for? He said, you're going to like it. That's all He would tell me, is one day that I was going to really like it, that I bought that 15 acres. And what eventually happened was I sold it to Tim and Emily, made a little bit of money on it, and now it's theirs, and I like that. I like that. And it was right next to 8 acres that they had bought, so what's the math there? 23? Now it's 23 acres that they have right there. Some of you know where that is, the lavender farm that she grows there, and the woodlands next to it. They own that. But, you're going to like it. Whatever you're praying out, you don't know when you're praying in the Spirit. You don't know what you're praying. But you're preparing your future. You're working out problems before you get to them. How valuable is that? 1 Corinthians 14:14. I'll just back that up with the scripture. There's a whole bunch there that we, with more time, would look at. But 1 Corinthians 14:14, he says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." So you see here, our spirits filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives the utterance, the words, and he says, pray in a tongue. You're offering a prayer from the Spirit, your spirit is praying in other tongues. And we know that since the words are coming from the Spirit of God, who knows the mind of God the Father, you are praying perfectly in line with the will of God. You want to talk about prayer that works. Can't miss. Just can't miss. Yeah, but I don't know what I'm praying. Can you trust God that it's good? And often you'll get a sense of what you're praying, or down the road you'll get a sense of what you're praying. Sometimes something really good happens or trouble's avoided and you go, oh, that's what I was praying about. And you just know it. Amen. Amen. So what was that number four? We pray in line with the will of God when we pray in other tongues. And by the way, he said also in that 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the mind. I'll sing with the Spirit and sing with the mind. So you can sing in the Spirit. That's a beautiful thing. We need more of that around here. Amen. So praying, singing in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit and we pray with the mind, both, or with the understanding. So just one more, we'll cover it, we're done. Should have been done a while ago. Verse 17, down three verses. You're at 14:14. Remember, it said my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, I don't know what I'm praying. I don't understand what I'm praying. Well, here's one of the things that you are praying. Verse 17, for you indeed give thanks well. But in talking about in the church setting and context, Paul talks about everybody being edified, not just yourself. So we can see here, when we pray in other tongues, one of the things that can happen is we are giving thanks to God. And have you ever said to somebody, I just don't have enough words to tell you how grateful I am? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your thank you, your card you might send, whatever, just doesn't seem to be enough to express the gratitude and the thankfulness. Well, if you want to fully express thankfulness to God, there's no better way than to do it in other tongues. We give thanks well. That's our fifth one. We give thanks well when we speak in other tongues. Amen. Amen. Oh, I got one more. Can we do it real quick? 1 Corinthians 13:1. I have six today. I thought it was just five, but scrolled a little further, and there's number six. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. He goes and talks about love, but let's pass that part up for now. Notice here, there's two things you can do. You can speak with tongues that men understand, or in a language that men understand, but there's another language that angels understand. And Paul's talking about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues can be called the language of angels. Language of angels. What would you say if an angel appeared before you? How would you talk to him? Well, in English, he would know English, but I just want you to notice here that there are tongues of angels. You can speak in a language that angels understand and you don't. One more scripture, two more scriptures, same chapter. Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews 1:7. And we'll be finished here. Hebrews 1:7. Now, Paul said, tongues of angels, they understand. Have you ever heard anybody say, give angels a job, give them a mission? Brother Jesse, about 2 years ago, was really preaching along those lines. Jesse Duplantis, give them a job. Well, here's where this kind of comes from. Hebrews 1:7. Of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers, angels are ministers, and his ministers a flame of fire. Then if you go down to verse 14, are they not all, speaking of angels, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Well, that's me. That's you. The purpose of ministering spirits, angels, is to minister for us. How do you communicate with angels? Brother Hagin, in teaching about how do you speak about your personal finance, you know, devil, you take your hands off my money. Angels, ministering spirits, go cause the money to come. The Lord taught him to pray that way, and that's appropriate. But how about this? When you speak in other tongues, the tongues of angels, are you not sending them forth to do ministry for you? What should I ask angels to do? Pray in other tongues and you'll ask them to do the right thing. You know, they can only do things according to the will of God. You know, if you say pray something like, Lord, or angels, go. And cause so-and-so to have an accident. I don't like them. Big car wreck. They can't do that. They won't do that. Right? But you can pray in the Spirit, and that person that you have trouble with, you might be praying, cause my heart to be softened. Cause me to walk in forgiveness. Protect them from accidents and so on. And you wouldn't know it. And you wouldn't pray it. But you are. Because your mind doesn't know what you're saying and praying. And that's a good thing. If I'm going to pray out a situation like I was telling you, you wonder what I do with the insurance claim money. I'm seeking God on maybe I don't repair and just put it against the mortgage of the house. Then I have the full value working for me down the road, but working for me, right? So, you're praying things that are greater than what your head can figure out. I don't know about you, but I don't know all the answers. I'm not smart enough to know everything. I don't always know what should be done, but I can pray the right thing when I pray in the Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it's not just a charismatic thing. It's not just a certain church thing. It's not a minor thing. It's a big thing. Amen? There's great value to praying, to speaking in other tongues. And I encourage you, let's refresh and do more. I've picked up on it more for myself. And most of yesterday I was doing things, taking care of Sandy, doing a little construction work in the morning, back and forth all day long, praying in the Spirit. Go to the bathroom, pray in the Spirit. Amen. You're sitting there anyway, so you might as well pray in the Spirit. Right? Amen. Amen. A few months back, I walked into one of the bathrooms in my house, and immediately the presence of the Lord was there. And I thought, this is a strange place for us to meet, Lord. But a spirit of prophecy came upon me, and I began saying things about my son Jeremiah and what the Lord has prepared for him and answer to a promise to me. Yeah. He told me he's restoring my son and my grandchildren to me. He told me he's moving them in down the street, you know. We're not there yet, but I told my son about that. We're hanging on to that. That came when I needed to go to the bathroom. And I found the Spirit of God. It was in the bathroom. He was in the bathroom already. I thought, Lord, here, now? But anyway, praise the Lord. Praying in the Spirit is extremely valuable to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's just do that. Let's make our prayer concerning closing the service and our offering. Let's just pray in the Spirit a little bit. Oh, soposho shuku takara abate. Tammy, be healed in Jesus' name. I drive out that infection, that cough, that pain in the name of Jesus. You cannot stay. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you meet all of our needs concerning financially as we bring in this offering. Thank you. Your blessing is upon the sower, and you've appointed great harvest to the sower. We thank you for these things now. In Jesus' name, amen.